All right, we all want schools to be safe places. And I think Americans across the land are absolutely horrified when they hear about school shootings like the one at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, or Virginia Tech, you know, dozens of children or young adults gunned down, completely helpless. Well, in Toppenish, in eastern Washington, they have a new policy in place. They have decided to allow school administrators, this would be people like principals or vice principals or other people who work in a leadership capacity in the school, to arm themselves. They would need 16 hours of training. They would need a concealed weapons permit and, of course, the background check that's the prerequisite to getting it. They are going to adopt this policy in September. So far, 11 school administrators have volunteered to arm themselves. And the Seattle Times is dismayed, absolutely appalled. Editorial, quote, "No guns in Toppenish schools. Allowing Toppenish school district employees to carry firearms is a disaster waiting to happen. The Toppenish school board adopted the policy that would begin in September. If Toppenish is that concerned, then invest more money in precautions with dramatically fewer possibilities of fatal errors and lethal mistakes. Hire more armed security guards so each of the district's 8 campuses has a trained person on duty. Install metal detectors. Pass out cans of pepper spray to teachers and staff. Remember, that's how a quick-thinking student disarmed the assailant at the recent Seattle Pacific University shooting that left one student dead and another seriously wounded. Bolster the ranks of school counselors. Arming amateurs is asking for all of the accidents that come with putting guns in inexperienced hands in crowded quarters. The spectrum of tragedy ranges from guns that are dropped or grabbed or stolen to actually discharging a weapon and striking innocent victims." An enthusiastic editorial in the Tri-City Herald at least acknowledged a basic concern of local police, identifying who is an attacker and who is an armed school employee. That is the wisdom of professionals who deal with the fog of hazardous confrontations. Options and alternatives exist, but they do involve spending money, and predictably that makes school administrators and board members flinch. The better, cheaper path is not to arm well-intentioned educators. So here's my question for you. Would you support this Toppenish policy in your kids' school district? Or your grandkids or your nephew or niece's school district? Would you have a problem with someone who had 16 hours of training and a concealed weapons permit to be allowed to carry on a school campus? Give me a call. I'd like to have listeners weigh in on this point. Is the answer to possible gunfire in a school to have more guns in the school? 206-421-5757. That is 206-421-5757. Outside King County, you have 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. You know, I can tell you right now, most of the people at the Seattle Times, and I know most of them in the editorial offices, most of them are not gun owners, and they probably don't know many people who are gun owners. And what kind of gives away the game is there's always the assumption when you're talking to people who don't own guns that owning them is you're just waiting for trouble. It's just a matter of time. It's guaranteed to happen. The fewer the guns, the better. And, you know, I remember we used to have a general manager here, great guy, but he was resolutely anti-gun because it guarantees there's going to be a problem. He just associated guns with thugs and guns with troublemakers. And, of course, he was a guy from back east. And he had, you know, worked back east. And, you know, one of his assignments was Detroit, and he just thinks Detroit, guns in Detroit equals thugs roaming the streets. Now, I'm guessing out there in Toppenish, the reason they see this differently is that gun in places that have what are called gun culture, which, you know, yes, you have firearm, and they don't respect the firearm, they take it seriously, but they don't view it with alarm. They just view it with a sense of obligation, responsibility, that this idea in Toppenish, well, yeah, then it makes sense. If someone just shows up and starts blazing away, calling the police simply means you'll have someone there to take a record of all the damage that's been done after it's been done. What are you going to do to prevent the damage in the first place? So, again, the Seattle Times is utterly appalled at the idea of Toppenish school district employees being allowed to carry firearms if they go through 16 hours of weapons training. Would you object or support to a policy like this at your kid's school or where your spouse works? Give me a call, 206-421-5757, outside King County, 1-888-312-5757, maybe even the school that you work at. We'll start out here in Auburn, hear what Mark has to say on the John Carlson Show. What do you say?
Hi, John. I would definitely support a program like Toppenish has going on. My wife actually works for a school district as a health tech. And they've actually had some classes on active shooter stuff, and the instructor himself actually has told them, by the time that the police arrive, the situation's usually going to be over. And not having that capability of defending themselves, I think puts a lot of everybody at risk. And I mean, it always has. And you don't see armed felons usually coming into a police station and, you know, going off because they know everybody there is carrying guns.
Now, what about the argument, no, just hire a security officer?
Well, hiring a security officer is good, but a lot of times the security officers, you know, it's just one person. If they know they can get on the school grounds and, you know, circumvent just that one person or at least do something, they might have a chance of going to that place. I mean, the security officer is a good step, but I think, you know, having those school administrators that actually are armed in that instance, when or wherever it happens on the school grounds, they can take action. It empowers them as well, not breeding fear in the school district, but empowerment.
Okay, very good. I appreciate your call. Yeah, I remember we had the statewide head of the teachers union, the Washington Education Union, on the show earlier in the year, and we were talking about it was alleged that a school district director was trying to disarm the security. They had armed security at some schools, and the allegation was that the school district wanted to disarm them. And the union president came on, Mary Lindquist, and she was absolutely in favor of disarming the security guards. And I said, why? And she said, for heaven's sakes, didn't Sandy Hook teach us anything? And I said, I think it did, but we may have gotten different lessons. What's your lesson? And that guns don't belong in schools. Look what happens when there's guns as children die. And I went, well, that's because the gunman knew that it was a gun-free zone. If the gunman knew that there was an armed security guard, maybe he would have gone somewhere else or nowhere at all. And she wasn't hearing it. She wouldn't even hear of it. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, let's suppose that Adam Lanza was headed to, you know, a middle school in Federal Way that is a gun-free zone, and you've disarmed the security guard. So what do you do when the gunman shows up? And, of course, the answer is, well, you immediately call the police. Well, yes, you do. But it takes a while for the police to get there. What happens during that? And the gunman knows it. The gunman knows someone's going to call the police. So what do? You've just disarmed the only person who could use lethal force to protect the children. And by the way, to protect your members. You're a union president. You represent teachers. And it was a very revealing illustration of how liberal ideology kind of overcomes any practical common sense argument to the contrary. She just wouldn't budge. She couldn't answer the argument. What's the answer to that argument? She didn't even want armed security guards. Now, in Toppenish, again, if you're just joining me, they have passed a new policy. They will allow school officials, school administrators, who volunteer to undergo 16 hours of training to arm themselves. So if trouble walks on their campus, if that nightmare that every mom and dad out there fears, that there will be a line of defense. The Seattle Times is absolutely appalled. They say it's ridiculous. They say, look, you know, if you want guns, then hire more armed security guards. Okay, there's 8 schools. Hire 8 security guards or install metal detectors, which I think is a terrible idea. Or pass out cans of pepper spray to teachers and staff. How long before those go missing, do you think? See, the thing is, with a concealed carry permit, you have to carry it with you at all times. It's not something you toss in a desk drawer. It is 20, almost 19 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. We are asking you, what would you think about this policy at your kid's school? Would you support or oppose? Would you speak out in favor or speak out against allowing school district employees to carry firearms if they had 16 hours of training and a concealed carry permit? It's 19 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning, the John Carlson Show.
Passion, principles, politics. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
A little culture clash going on here, the John Carlson Show this morning. In the town of Toppenish, there in central Washington, the Tri-City Herald thinks it's a fine idea that Toppenish School District employees, district that covers 8 schools, is going to allow administrators to carry firearms so long as they've had training. and they have a concealed weapons permit. So people would know that if trouble comes, and troublemakers would know that if they come to a school, there might very well be someone who is armed, who will be there to defend the kids and the other employees. The Seattle Times is just dismayed, and they can't believe this would happen. They say it's a disaster just waiting to happen. There could be fatal errors. There could be lethal mistakes. The spectrum of tragedy ranges from guns that are dropped, grabbed, or stolen to actually discharging a weapon and striking innocent victims. Okay. With all of that said, where would you come down on your kid's school district having a policy like that? Let's go to Marcus from Seattle. Go for it, Marcus.
Yeah, John, as far as I'm concerned, putting up these gun-free zones is telling any nut out there that he has a free-fire zone and he can kill as many children and teachers and administrators as he can kill before the police get there.
I think gun-free zones are a perfect example of a policy that is intended not to do good, but to make the people who pass it feel good.
Yeah, and I have a granddaughter up there in a school district north of Seattle. She's 14, and I would rather have an armed teacher or administrator there any day of the week than not have one, because I know that that person's going to care about my granddaughter and those other kids, and they will put their life on the line if need be to save those kids. They're not going to wait around for some police officer or sheriff's deputy. And as wonderful as police and sheriffs are, they have one problem. They cannot instantaneously go from one end of town to the other. Unless their name's God, they are not going to get there instantaneously.
Let's say they can get there in 3 minutes.
Yep.
3 minutes. Well, you know what that means?
Well, that means if, John, I'm a firearms owner, and I own a .45, and I can guarantee you in 3 minutes I can empty all three clips and
shoot.
I mean, it's crazy. If I were a nut...
Yeah, that's what it means, Marcus. It means 3 minutes of shooting. That's why, you know, I like the idea, whether it's an armed security guard or whether it's faculty, faculty having, you know, training and a concealed carry permit, I'm okay with that. I care about the safety of my kids. I want a good guy with a gun who will stop a bad guy with a gun. Let's go to Brian from Lacey, close to the state capitol. Yes, what do you think?
Good morning. I'm going to throw a liberal thing at you. I think we just need more cameras.
Definitely document the carnage.
Yeah, they don't call the police. They don't help the situation when it's happening, but they're up there. It's the same old story, John. You know, our politicians, our governor, our mayor, the mayor of Tacoma, the mayor of Seattle, they all have armed people all around them. But for some reason, they're kind of skipping out on the wonderful things that they keep bringing up.
Oh, what a wonderful idea. Yes, that's right. Are the politicians in Olympia, they have armed security. And I'm assuming that some of the armed security are people with concealed carry, in addition to, you know, state patrol and others. Yeah, no, they have not just security, but armed security. Why would they be any better or any more special than your children? What a great point that was, Brian. Thank you. Let's go out here to Andy, Federal Way. What do you say?
Well, I'm going to throw you a little curveball here. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're listening. Go ahead.
I graduated in 1974 from Clover Park, and we talk about guns are the problem. We used to have a rifle team, as did many other schools in the area, and you could carry your rifle down the hallway. You could hear gunshots going off in the hallway. Nobody was ever shot. Nobody was ever killed. So is the problem really the guns, or is the problem the people and the way families are being raised today? I would like to ask the question, what has changed in society from when I went to school to today? What has our government allowed to happen that has got all these idiots running out here? And shooting kids in school.
All right. Andy, the question you ask is a good one. And I've had a lot of people say, yeah, you know, we used to hunt after school all the time, or we had a gun club in school. You know, what was the problem? The problem wasn't the gun. The problem is, of course, the person who holds it.
Lars Larson tackles the big stuff today at 6 on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
So good to have you here this morning on the John Carlson Show. Thank you for taking the time. All right, another quick phone call, and then we have to hear from Mr. Dick Cheney. Steve from West Seattle, so nice to have you on the John Carlson Show. Go for it.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I like the idea of the concealed carry. If a number of staff had that, willing to actually sacrifice themselves if they had to, but I thought, what if they had metal detectors, like somebody suggested, and had silent alarms, which each person having a gun would then be notified and would know the zone to go to, and that way they could kind of get there without the person even knowing it.
See,
I thought one more idea was, instead of just 16 hours of training, they maybe weekly for maybe the next 6 months or something like that, or then quarterly or something like that, they go into short-time training and keep up their skills.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that would definitely have to be a part of it. I am less concerned, and I thank you for your call, Steve. I'm less concerned with faculty and staff having concealed carry permits on campus if they've had training. And I do think you need specialized situational training. And I don't know how many hours is sufficient. But I think if you've had that training, then there's just, you know, you're one more threshold of support, one more obstacle between a deranged gunman and, you know, students who would be their prey. I don't like metal detectors. Metal detectors are just a psychological barrier that tell us that we have a place that's less safe than it used to be. One of the things I used to love about the U.S. Capitol is you could, you know, just walk onto the Capitol grounds, walk into the Capitol, walk into a congressman or senator's office building. And now, of course, everything has to be screened. Everybody has to stand in line and go through the metal detector. And it's just, it just reminds us that we're not as safe as we used to be. And I would view metal detectors as a last resort. I would hate to see that installed, because just psychologically it tells every kid walking into school, yeah, we need to screen you before we can let you through. And I know the counter-argument is, well, they'll get used to it. But wouldn't it be nice for kids to be more carefree and not think that they have to be on their guard because there are people who are looking out for them? And by the way, do you really think a gunman's going to be stopped by a metal detector? He just breezes right through it, if that's what he or she wanted to do. So again, that's why I think the Toppenish school policy, where they have asked for volunteers among school administrators, and have said, you know, that if you'll take additional training and you have a concealed carry permit, we'll allow you to have your firearm on campus as a threshold of support, as a barrier against someone who might come on this campus and do our kids harm. I think every single school needs to have a plan in place that if the worst was to happen, that somewhere on that campus, before the police arrive, somebody with a firearm is ready and capable and trained to address the threat of a deranged gunman. Every elementary school, every middle school, every high school, every college should have that plan in place. Somebody should be there. Somebody should be equipped, because as wonderful as our men and women in blue are, by the time they get there, the damage is done. And if you can afford an armed security guard, great. But a lot cannot. A lot of schools are pinched for funding. So that's where I come down. And I don't want to live in an era where students have to go through metal detectors. I think it's tragic when I see that.